Listen to what your Bible says. Finally. That means he's fixing to wrap this thing all up in a nice little bow. Finally, my brethren, by the way, who's he talking to? The church. Be strong. I could just stop right there and preach for 4 hours on how the church in 2024 needs to be strong. Because I'm looking around and it seems like we're getting weak. All over this nation we're living in, I see a lot of weak churches. We need to get strong. Amen. Listen to this. Be strong, how? In the Lord. And in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God. That word whole right there is real important. Why do we need to put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's the strategies, the plans, the attacks of the devil. Can I tell you something, Christian, that you may not know? Every single day of your life, every minute of every hour that you spend on this earth, you are under attack. Amen. There are spiritual forces that are working and planning and plotting and attacking and firing at all times everywhere. You say, but preacher, seems like everything in my life is going pretty good. Look at verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can I tell you something? Your fight ain't always against your fellow man. Mm-hmm. Listen to me now. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual. The reason that all this matters is because we are fighting a spiritual warfare. Amen. A spiritual battle. Hear me, church, and hear me well. I don't like Joe Biden, but he ain't the reason that we're in the shape we're in. Amen. I don't like a whole lot of things that go on in this world, but I hear me right here. The politicians and the pundits and the commentators and all of those things and the boss man on the job are not the reason that you are not spiritually strong. They are not the reason that you are under attack. The attacks that come toward us are spiritual. And their power is derived from spiritual power. So to combat that, we must fight with spiritual armor. Amen. Put you on the whole armor of God. Look at verse number 13. That's where we're going to start at this morning. Wherefore take unto you. Notice when he first started talking about it, he said you need to put on the armor. Now he's saying you need to take it unto you. Some of you have already got all the pieces to the puzzle. You just need to figure out how to use them together. But some of y'all need to get a hold of some of this morning. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, look at this word, withstand in the evil day. Can I tell you something, church, before I get started? The evil day, if you've not already experienced that, you will. It's coming. There's going to come a time in your life when spiritual warfare is going to begin to affect and impact every aspect of your life. It might be physically, it might be emotionally, it might be relationally. Listen, spiritual warfare is real. Let me say that again. Spiritual warfare is real. The devil don't like Christians. Amen. Demonic influences don't like the church. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. The devil hates Christian families. Are you listening to me? Listen, I don't know if it's just
because of the things that have been going on this week that I've been hearing about and being counseled with about and all of that. But it seems like to me we're at such a place in our society where the hardest thing that we can do, one of the most great accomplishments in the 21st century, is to put together a family with a mother and a father and children and maintain that for the rest of your life. That seems impossible. Day in and day out, you know what I hear from young families with children? Our marriage is on the rocks. Our family's in trouble. Things ain't going well. I'm telling you, church, day in and day out and day in and day out. You know what I hear from the kids that I teach? All mom and daddy ever do is fight. Daddy sleeps in this end of the house and mom sleeps in that end of the house. Can't get along. Say, what is that, preacher? That's called spiritual warfare. What's happening right there is Satan has come in and began to divide a Christian household. You know what the first institution instituted by God on this earth was? The family. Put Adam and Eve together, and he told them to multiply. The home. Our homes are under attack. Our minds are under attack. Mm-hmm. Our young people are under attack. Our schools are under attack. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Mm-hmm. Hey, listen. The souls of man are under attack. We live in a nation that's killing babies every day. And the ones that do survive, they're teaching them that you can be a woman if you want to be. Even though you're a man, they're teaching them things like men can get pregnant. I'm telling you, I truly believe that if Jesus tarries, 200 or 300 years from now, there'll be a kid sitting in a history class reading a book about how insane our generation went.
Amen.
How foolish it was, the things that were done in this generation. Like we look back now at how foolish they've been in the past. Spiritual warfare, we're under attack. We're under attack. And if you've not been experienced that attack yet, friends, you will. Job said it best when he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. I did not dwell in safety. There's going to come a day when you better be ready to fight. Hey, young couples, there's going to come a day when you better be ready to fight for your marriage. Mm-hmm. To fight for your home. Right. Fight for your children. Are you hearing me? Some of y'all older crowd know what I'm talking about right here. It's going to come a day when you better be willing to stand, when you better be willing to fight, when you better be willing to battle for what's important. Verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, help me now, God, to express this in a way that will be helpful to your people. I pray you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So how? How do we do it? How do we prepare? How do we fight? How do we be ready for battle? That's what I want to know, because I'm telling you right now, I want to be ready on the day when I face these battles, and I've seen what Satan can do to homes and to families and to churches and to lives, and I want to be prepared. Amen?
Amen.
Verse number 14, the first things, the first part of the armor of God is simple. Notice this, the end of verse 13, he says, having done all to stand, look at verse 14, stand, therefore.
know what you can't do? You can't put armor on laying down.
Step one is the stand.
I'm so sick of this timidity and soft generation of Christians that we have produced in this nation that won't stand for truth, that refuse to stand against attack and fold under pressure. I'm so sick of watching people, listen, that are supposed to be standing for God, and when they face a little bit of adversity, they crumple up like a piece of paper. The first thing you're going to have to do is stand up for what you believe in, because if you won't stand, the rest of it don't matter. If you won't stand, we need some Christians with some backbone in 2024. I'm so sick of being bullied and pushed around by a bunch of lily-livered, soft, lip-wristed liberal. Hey, you say, preacher, you're getting kind of... No, I'm sick of it. Do you know how big my God is? Do you know how powerful He is? Yet we let the world push us around. When Jesus said, fear not, for I've overcome the world.
That's right.
Say, preacher, they'll put you in jail. I'm going to jail tomorrow. Next 3 days, I'll be in jail 2:30 in the afternoon. Preaching the gospel.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do if they throw me in there? I'm going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Be a whole lot easier to gain access from the inside. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about a stand, church.
Preacher, what are you going to do when they come against the church and they say, you can't preach that, or we're going to shut you down?
Hey, look up in here. They might take this building. They might take this land. They might take away this property. But hey, listen, the only way they're going to take away the church is if we don't stand.
That's right.
I remember a few years back, there was a mayor elected in Texas, of all places. There's a woman got elected mayor, and she was very anti-Christian, very anti-God, and her agenda was to rein in the churches of her area because they were preaching hate speech, what she called it, hatefulness. And so she sent out an edict, if you will, a memo, whatever you want to call it, a search warrant of sorts to all these pastors in the area, and said, I need you to send me all your sermon notes so we can go through this and make sure that you guys are not preaching hate speech. And a pastor that I knew through a mutual friend that was in that area, we asked him, what did you do? He said, I went to the Bible bookstore and I bought me a brand new King James Bible. He said, I put it in the mail and I paid for a stamp.
Amen.
You want to know what I'm preaching? Read that book.
Amen.
Amen.
But hey, listen, you say, preacher, how do you know that the church, the stand of the church is not strong? Well, we just got shown that. It's only been 4 years, y'all. This time 4 years ago, I was watching church, after pastor, after pastor, crumple up and fold up under the pressure that was put on them from the government of this country that we live in. And listen, to the point where they were agreeing with things like, you can't sing in church no more because you might spread the virus. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Amen.
You know what they were doing, Sister Debbie? They were pushing the church along, because the purpose of that was to see how far can we push them before they push back. And you know what they found out? In a lot of cases, they're never going to push back.
That's right.
Did you know that there's some churches, I'm dead serious right now, there are churches in Wilson County, North Carolina, that still have not reopened their doors for COVID.
Yeah.
And they never will. And you know what? They shouldn't. Yeah. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Now listen to me. If that's all it takes, God's done wrote Ichabod over the door.
Yeah.
You can forget that. The presence of God is not in that place. If that's what it takes, hey, listen, maybe those people will go out and find a church where God's at.
Amen.
Amen. First thing we're going to have to do is stand. Because if you won't stand, and let me get real personal with this. Some of y'all are Sunday only Christians. Amen. Now to quit preaching with the meddling. Amen. Some of y'all stand up and sing in church, but when your co-workers go to talking about things that you ought not to be talking about, then all of a sudden you default to loss mode. Some of y'all, nobody in your life would ever think that you were a Christian except for the people in this room. Amen. That's tough. No, listen. I'm serious. Y'all see it from my perspective. You know how many times I've told somebody, yeah, so-and-so goes to my church. Really? I didn't know they went to church. Well, how would you? Oh, that's tough, preacher. Now listen, man. You better learn how to stand. Because if you won't stand, you'll never fight. You know when the worst trouble of David, I'm going to get off this, but I want you to hear this. The worst trouble that David, King David, ever got himself into, the worst sin he ever committed, the worst trouble he ever got into God with the most consequences, kept him from building the temple, caused his son to die, all kind of consequences that David faced because of this. His relationship with God was never the same as it was before that, after he did this one great sin. And you know what happened that led to that? The Bible says it was the time when kings go out into battle and David stayed home. You know why David got in all that trouble? Because he refused to stand. He should have been on the battlefield, but he was at the house. Some of y'all are looking at me like I got three heads. That's all right. Stay with me. He should have been on the battlefield, but he was at the house. There's a lot of people this morning that ought to be on the battlefield, but they're at the house. That's right. You know what that's going to lead to? A lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. Better learn how to stand. You better learn how to stand for your family. I can't get off this. I'm stuck on this stand. You better learn how to stand for your family. Men, husbands, are you listening to me? Listen real good to what I'm fixing to say. If you won't stand up for your wife, somebody else will. If you won't fight for your family, somebody else will. Better learn how to stand. Say, but it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Hear me right here. Battle's hard. I watched an interview recently of a man that fought in World War II. And he was talking about that they went into this particular battle. And he said that they went through this town, and when they came back through the town, there were bodies everywhere. He said, there's so many people that died, he said they were just flooding the streets. You had to step on them to walk. And the buzzards and the dogs and all were eating these bodies. You say, preacher, that's rough. Yeah, that's war. That's a battle. That's what happens when you fight. It ain't pretty. It's hard, preacher. But I've had so many people tell me stuff like this. You just don't understand how hard it is to be married to so-and-so. Yeah, I do. I'm also married to a human. My wife is also married to a human. You just don't understand how hard it is. Yeah, it's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be a battle. Because there's an opposition force that's trying every day to destroy you. Better learn how to stand. Better get ready to fight. Battle's hard. You know what happens in war? Sometimes you make the wrong move. And there's collateral damage. Things don't always go like you want to go. I don't know why I'm hung up on this, but I'm staying right here. There's an old quote.
Everybody knows who Mike Tyson is, one of the greatest boxers that ever lived. Y'all know me, you know I like boxing and things like that. And here's a quote that he said. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Hey, that's how battle is. You got your strategy. I'll tell you how the devil will fight you. You got your strategy all worked out, and he'll hit you from behind. Mm-hmm. You got it all figured out. I can't tell you how many times I had faced knowing that there was a battle coming. Know this is going to be hard. And I had it all figured out. Till the gun started firing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, everything changes. All of a sudden, I tell you what will happen to you in adversity. I'm fixing to quit. I'll just have to preach the rest of it tonight. I tell you what happened to you in adversity, Christian. Adversity does not build character. Adversity reveals character. Mm-hmm. When you get put under pressure, what the real you will come out. You know how you be prepared for that? You stand. You go ahead and face all that before you get there. You better learn who you really are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, before you get put in a position to need to use them. Having done all to stand. Stand, therefore.
First step in the armor of God is the stand. Then let me give you this. I got a little time. Everybody okay? Mm-hmm. Look at this next part. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is a very interesting phrase. Notice the preeminence of this. This is right at the beginning of the armor. This is a central point of the rest of the armor. And the interesting thing, Bible commentators call this the belt of truth. Your loins. But it's more specific than that.
Something interesting about the location of this particular item. So what are the loins? Let me put it to you. Let me see if I can put it to you in a way that's G-rated. Okay.
God told Abraham, "I'm going to bring forth a child from your loins." Is everybody with me? Say amen. We're in this region, the loins. So why is that important, preacher? Because listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Having your loins girt about that is covered with truth. You know what's an important aspect of this region of your life? Truth. Because if you ever decide not to lie about what you do with that part of you, it'll make your life a whole lot easier. Honesty will keep you pure. Young people, honesty will keep you pure. If you have to lie about what you're doing with them loins, then you're probably doing something you ought not to be doing. Amen. Yeah. If you understand the truth about it, you'll do better with it. The truth is, that part of you is centrally important. It's a part of you that God has created for a specific purpose. Everybody okay? Mm-hmm. Don't get nervous. Hey, I see these teenagers sitting out here. They need it worse than y'all do. Mine's out there too, praise God. This part of you is important. It's important that you keep that belt of truth. That you keep your loins girt about with truth so that you can keep yourself pure. Because the purpose that it was created for ain't for you and your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Amen right there. Oh yeah.
I saw a preacher one time give this illustration. He drew a box up on a whiteboard, square. Here's what he said. People ask me, what is fornication? Well, it's real simple. Inside this box is one husband and one wife
married together for one lifetime. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Anything that is not inside that box is fornication. Anything, any activity, physical activity that's not inside the box of a husband and a wife that are together for a lifetime, that's called fornication, friend. That's wicked.
Amen. Amen. Oh, preacher, hear me right here. Because these youngins better figure it out now, or they're going to figure it out the hard way.
Here's what the Bible says about it. Fornication is the only sin in Scripture that is not only a sin against God, but it is a sin against your own body. When you do that, you are doing things to your body that are negatively impacting it, and it can't do nothing about it. God said, you're not only doing me wrong, you're doing you wrong. Ask me how I know, youngins. Amen, preacher, you're getting too graphic.
No, I'm not getting graphic enough. I'll be real honest with you. Because I got one over here 14, 15 years old, and there's a bunch of y'all got them over there, and they better hear about it. I'd rather them hear about it in the pulpit than I would for them to find out about it the hard way.
Amen.
Church, you better get your loins. Hey, husbands and wives,
better get your loins girded about the truth. If you got to lie to your wife about the things that are on your mind, friend, you've already started messing up. Wives, if you got to lie to your husband, about how you're feeling, hey, you're already messing up. Oh yeah. Everybody's getting a little tense. That's okay. You need to be tense. You better be tense. Hey, listen, if you gotta delete messages off your phone before your spouse gets a hold of it, look up in here. You better get that belt of truth on your life. And right now, I tell you what a belt will do. Y'all see this? You know what that does? That keeps everything in order. Amen. Hey, listen. Because if I didn't have it, everything be falling off. That bell will keep... Somebody ought to say amen right there. That bell will keep your blessed fire clothes on, young people. Amen. You'd be a whole lot better off. Just keep your stinking clothes on. Oh, yeah.
I think that bell will keep that belt of truth in your life.
You know what ruins most relationships? A loss of trust. One way or the other. I don't have to trust that my britches are going to stay up because I got a belt on.
Amen.
And I'm going to speak for her, and she may tell y'all later in private that she disagrees with what I'm fixing to say, but I believe this is true. She don't have to worry about where I'm going when I leave the house.
That's right.
Because of that veil of truth in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, she might have some other problems with me, but that ain't one of them. Amen. And once you lose that, everything gets more complicated.
I'm having to move slow through this and give y'all some real practical application.
Here's why. So, preacher, why do you give all these illustrations and practical stuff? Because I want you to be able to remember and recall this and apply it to your life. Here's a picture I got in my mind. Y'all ever watch Cops? I'm fixing to quit in a minute. Y'all ever watch Cops? That used to be my favorite show. They ain't nothing dumber than a criminal that wants to run. They always do something stupid. Right? Well, obviously, they've already done something stupid if they're in that position to start with. But my favorite runner is it'll always go, it'll be like this. They'll be in the hood looking at somebody, you know, and all of a sudden they'll see old Leroy out there and hit the light, whoop, and Leroy's britches are about 9 sizes too big. He thinks that looks cool till he takes off running. And he's doing this number the whole time, running, trying to hold his britches up. And you know what? Eventually, the thing gets tied around his feet. Down goes Leroy. Here comes the dog. And the taser. He wasn't ready. That bell will keep things together when you got to make a move. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll keep things in order. If you ain't got the belt, you've already messed up.
You got to stand.
You got to stand, and you got to gird yourself with truth. An honest Christian is an effective Christian. A dishonest Christian, has made him rendered himself ineffective, but not only that, he's rendered a lot of others ineffective as well. Mm-hmm. He's rendered the gospel ineffective.
Giving ammunition to the enemy. So you want to hear the rest of this, you just going to have to come back tonight, but here's what I'm going to close with.
A lot of us are living right here. That's why I don't come in here and preach these high and lofty spiritual dissertations on theology that's way over y'all's head. Look, listen, I don't know about y'all, but I can tell you where I'm at. I want the cookies on the bottom shelf where I can get a hold of them. Because, hey, listen, if you ain't standing and you ain't got the belt of truth, you ain't ready for battle.
Amen.
And the battle is coming.
Amen.
If it's not already here.
Hunter's coming to the piano. I thought about this. When David faced Goliath,
Saul tried to give David his armor. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I was going to fight a 9-foot-tall man, I believe I'd want some protection. Right? But here was the problem with that. Saul came and laid his armor upon David. And David immediately recognized that armor did not fit him. And because armor didn't fit him, he told him, you just take it off. Because he knew that he wasn't going to be able to be effective in battle with unfamiliar armor. If the first time you ever put on the armor is when you're under attack, you're not going to be able to utilize it. So I think we all start girding ourselves with truth now instead of later.
I want you to stand together, heads are bowed and eyes.